Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I saw our boy, Jerry Palm, on the Big Boy Network on Saturday with the heavies. I saw him in the halftime in the studio show, just styling, doing bracketology work on the weekends here in the Big Apple. Jerry rocking it. How you doing?
I'm fine. How are you?
I saw you on there, Jerry. You were looking good.
Thanks. It's not easy boxing out Clark Kellogg.
Right? I mean, come on. That guy knows how to take control of the low blocks.
Yep. Yep. I'm not that big.
So how much fun is that for you to do that? That's got to be great.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's a blast. I love doing television. I do mostly stuff for Sports Network, CBS Sports Network. And the last 2 weeks of the regular season, I'll be in there. But the last 2 years, I've been part of that committee reveal show, and that's a lot of fun.
Where do you normally live again? Do you live in Indiana?
I live in, yes, Northwest Indiana, suburban Chicago, up in the region.
Okay, so like where I grew up, Valparaiso.
Yeah, actually closer to Illinois. I'm in Schererville.
Oh, all right. I know where that is. That's great. So what do you fly into New York and then you stay in New York City and do the show? What do you stay for the whole weekend in New York?
Right. Ended up having to go out because of the bad weather out here. I was supposed to go Saturday morning, but ended up going Friday. Had to drive down to Indianapolis to be able to get out of here.
So, wow. So about Indy. New York, a little bit more exciting than the mall in Merrillville.
Yeah, but, I'm a Chicago guy, so, yeah,
right.
Chicago's got its own excitement.
All right, slow down. You're still an hour from Chicago. And I noticed that you're still giving your Boilermakers all kinds of love, and I understand the disease you have. I have it, too, the Hoosiers. But what did you think of the game in East Lansing with them?
Well, unfortunately, I didn't get to watch very much of it because I was working on Saturday in the studio, so I didn't get to see a lot of it. I saw the end, and Bridges just hits a great shot because he's a great player. So that was just two really good teams going at it, and the home team won. Really, no big surprise. The loss that eats at you if you're a Purdue fan is Ohio State because that was at home.
So you wrote about Michigan State, and you said when the committee looks at them, here's what they're going to see: quality wins against North Carolina and at home against Purdue, losses to Duke on neutral, at Ohio State, and at home to Michigan. And then you talk about the quadrants. This is a new phrase that you guys have come up with this year that I've never seen before, the quadrants.
Right.
It sounds like a fire drill.
It does kind of. Well, the NCAA, of course, came up with it. They've always had them. They've just never referred to it that way because, they basically, on their team sheet, they've got, games in four buckets, basically, in, order of quality. And it used to be that the top bucket was just 1 to 50 RPI. If you played anybody 1 to 50 RPI, they'd win the top bucket. Now, the top bucket, there's a home and road waiting to it. So now it's 1 to 30 RPI if you play them at home, 1 to 50 if it's neutral, and 1 to 75 if it's on the road is goes into that top bucket, which they're calling quadrant one now because it's too much of a mouthful to give you the three RPI numbers for each thing. So it's quadrant one, quadrant two, quadrant three, quadrant four, and they all have that home road aspect to it. But it's not really being used any differently. It's just that the games that go in each bucket are now have been redefined. And it makes sense because they were kind of doing that in their heads anyway when they were looking at these games because it's not as simple as just putting teams in a bucket. Not all top quadrant wins are the same or games are the same, so they look at it in great detail, but still in terms of trying to aggregate things together, they were trying to get a better picture of what they were already kind of doing in their heads.
So let me get this straight. You have Purdue 1 in the West, and you have Michigan State 3. Explain that to me.
Sure. Well, that's actually really easy to explain. That's the I took my bracket from basically Saturday and the committee's top 16 from Sunday because I'm trying to predict what they're going to do. Well, they told me what they're going to do, right, based on through Saturday's game. So I took that and added mine to the end of it. And so Purdue's the number one seed in my bracket because the committee just told me they'd make them a number one seed if the selections were yesterday.
Oh, I see. So when they came out with their 16, that's what you did it based off of.
Right. And obviously I had my own prediction of what they would do, and I actually thought they'd put Michigan State ahead of Purdue, even though, and I wrote this Saturday morning, or the late Saturday night actually, for Sunday morning before the committee announced their 16, that I still thought Purdue had the best resume for a one seed of the potential teams that could get that spot. But I thought they'd give it to Michigan State anyway because of the two higher quality wins, North Carolina and Purdue. I thought that they would give it to them, but they didn't. And not only did they not give it to them, they made them a 3, which I think surprised a lot of people. But I kind of understand it because they just haven't played the kind of schedule we're used to seeing Michigan State play. I mean, they usually have one of the better non-conference schedules. And while they played Carolina and Duke, the overall schedule wasn't that good. And then the league hasn't been very good, so they're not getting the kind of quality opponents they normally get in the league. And then the league schedule for Michigan State, they had one place with Purdue, Ohio State, and Michigan. So they didn't even get to play the better teams in the league twice. So the schedule has really not been good for Michigan State, and it's been really hard for them to build up the kind of quality opponents and quality wins that almost everybody else in that top 16 has.
So, and let me get this straight. So the 16 that the NCAA came out with, the top 4 seeds in each region, they don't even have, like, so yours is different completely, obviously, because you have, you had Purdue correctly, obviously in the West, like you did it, but they have Michigan State and Cincinnati in the South, whereas you had them in the West. Where will they end up?
Who?
Where will Michigan State and Cincinnati end up, just like the NCAA had it in the South, in Atlanta?
Well, we'll see what happens in a month, but if the tournament started today, then that's the way it would have been. They'd have been in the South, yeah.
All right, so...
And Purdue would have been out West as the fourth number one, whoever the fourth number one is this year, because there's no Western
right.
team that's going to be a one seed. The fourth number one is going to be placed in the West out of its natural region because you can't put all four of those teams in the same place.
Do you have a problem with Purdue having to go out West and Xavier getting to stay in the Midwest?
Well, if Xavier's rated higher by the committee, then no. And I think that would be correct as of today. We'll see what happens, a month from now.
Wow. Let me ask you this question. Do you think Jerry Palm with us, the great bracketologist and a leader of men, you can see him on CBS Sports Network and on CBS, the big network, on your weekends talking about the tournament brackets as we get closer, a month away from today's Selection Sunday or yesterday. So do you think that Tom Izzo looks like he's about ready to jump off a bridge? I mean, that guy looks so beat up and stressed out. Like, he looks like, I mean, he really does look like hell. This whole thing has taken a toll on that guy. Is that obvious to you?
Yes. It's
no joke.
It's a difficult situation for him because he's been advised not to say anything, and I think he really wants to talk. And he's following his lawyer's advice and not talking. So... But I think that that part is killing him. I think he wants to be able to tell his side of the story, and he can't. And because all of this is happening during his season, he gets asked about it every other day because he's got press conferences and conference calls and all of that stuff, and people are asking him about it every day, and it is eating away at him. D'Antonio is actually probably in a worse position in terms of what happened within his program. But he's not in season, so he's not having to face the media every other day.
Jerry, what happened with – because I was following the Larry Eustace story out in Fort Collins with regards to his mood swings, if you will, It right. sounded like he was half crazy. I'm not even joking. Like it, you know, not to be mean or anything. He just sounded like he was allegedly abusive towards just about everybody: players, staff, athletic department. What's going on with this guy? This is not the first time we've heard about Larry's mood swings.
Well, yeah, I would say that I'd heard reports of similar issues when he'd been in other places. I would say that it's also unfortunate that it came to the point where it ends up costing him his job. But I think really more important is if that's a difficulty for him, that he just get help dealing with that so that he can learn how to manage that going forward and maybe get back into coaching again. But I think it's going to be hard for him to get back into coaching right now.
What's going to happen at Colorado State? The guy that they were going to put in there for the job, the players protested so badly that he didn't get the job either.
Well, at best, they're just going to have an interim through the rest of this season. A season that really, I mean, well, they were not competing for the league championship or anything. This isn't a team that was going to make the NCAA tournament without a run through the Mountain West tournament. So, you know, they'll try and find the right coach in the off season, but I don't think they're gonna find it. You know, right now, they're just trying to finish the year.
Jerry Palmotis, what is going on with Josh Pastner? Is he going to get out of that mess?
That's a good question. You know, now there's some new accusations about him that he has vehemently denied. And, you know, I guess we'll have to see what ends up coming of that. I'm sure it's being thoroughly investigated by Georgia Tech and others. So, yeah, I think that, you know, it's obviously not as clear cut a thing as other cases have been. But, you know, we'll just have to see. But, yeah, gosh, it's one thing after another, though, isn't it? And this is not the first off-court issue that Pastner has had to deal with this season. I mean, you know, right before the season started, as they were, I think, getting ready to go to China to play UCLA, you know, a supposed friend of his kind of ratted him out to the NCAA, and he had to deal with that, and that's still probably ongoing as well. So, yeah, it's been a rough ride for Josh this season.
What did you think of, lastly here, over the weekend, some of the games? I watched – Oklahoma State winning Morgantown. I saw Iowa State knock off Oklahoma and Ames. We saw Baylor beat Kansas, and we even saw Virginia Tech in overtime win at Charlottesville against Virginia, who was unbeaten in the ACC. Some crazy games Saturday.
It's been like that all year, though, Scott. I mean, it's just one. I mean, you know, the weekend before was St. John's beating Duke and Villanova back to back. And we've got so many losses that are just head-scratching losses by some of the better teams in college basketball this year. It seems like everybody's got one. One of those games where it's like, what the heck happened? And I think it's unusual. I mean, it's not unusual for the elite teams to get beat, especially in league play, because that kind of thing happens. But the quality of the teams that are beating them is or you know, you look at Kansas's resume. Kansas has four home losses. Now, three at Fog Allen and one in Kansas City, the home game they play in Kansas City, but that's like a decade worth of home losses
right.
for Kansas.
That's crazy.
Duke has lost to St. John's and Boston College and NC State, who's a borderline tournament team at best. It's the Florida lost to Loyola of Chicago when they were ranked in the top 10. They're not anymore, but it's been that kind of a year where the highly rated teams aren't just losing. They're losing to teams that you can't imagine that they would lose to, and then they lose two or three in a row. They don't stop the bleeding right away. It's been, you know, Villanova. Of those four seeds, Xavier's the only one that doesn't have a real head-scratching loss. I mean, Purdue lost to Western Kentucky in the Bahamas. So, you know, and that's not a bad team, but that's probably not a tournament team. So, yeah, you know, Xavier's the only one that doesn't have one of those losses that makes you wonder what's wrong with them.
Yeah, great point. Good stuff. I'd probably lose, too, if I was laying on the beach in the Bahamas and had to, like, wake up and play a basketball game.
Purdue and Arizona played a seventh-place game in that tournament.
Can you imagine?
The committee had them bracketed 1-4 in the West region, so they could be playing a Sweet 16 game in the committee's, you know, February bracket.
All right, great stuff tonight, Jerry. We'll catch up soon. Count on it.
All right, thanks, man.
All right, Jerry Palm, CBS Sports Bracketologist.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.